Like, what are you talking about? Well, we got, you know, our top four guys this year will make over $2 million. And his teeth, by the, I mean, I helped him pick them up and put them back into his mouth after they fell out on the thing there. And he looked at me and he said, "You joking me, right?" And I said, "No, sir." I said, "We actually, believe it or not," I said, "it's kind of weird, but we have some surgeons that come to work for us." I said, I know, I'm not trying to recruit you. I'm just talking to you. I said, "You may come in contact with people that you know." And then we started talking about different things we do in the community and for our churches and whatever, and have lifestyles and just on and on and on. And the dude said, "Man, give me one of your cards." He said, "I know a lot of people." And he said, "You know, there's people constantly talking to me about needing something, needing a position, this, that, and the other." And he said, "Man," he said, "are you in every state?" And I said, "Absolutely, absolutely." I said, "You just call that number right there." So who knows where that'll go, folks? Maybe somebody called it. Phone's ringing now. Maybe somebody from him. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, you plant enough seeds, folks, you're going to grow something. So all you have to do is learn how to talk to people at the kitchen table and how to talk to people when you're, you know, in the store shopping, you know, whatever the case is. But here's the key. Don't oversell the opportunity in your warm market. See, if you're talking to your friends and you're talking to them about how to make $1 million a year, they're like, "Yeah, right. I see the car you're driving. I see the lifestyle you're living. It ain't working." Now, I'm not putting that down. I'm saying you can ask anybody that ever knew me in any of the businesses that I was in. In my mind, I was successful before I was successful. You follow what I'm saying? So it didn't matter what kind of car I was driving, where I was at, what kind of house I was living in. Folks, I never lied to people. I never misled people in any kind of way. But I would talk to people straightforward about the opportunity. And if they asked any questions about where I'm at, it was the fact that I just got started. It was the fact that I was still working part-time. There was something going on to kind of even out where I was at in the business at that particular point in my career. And I would always tell people, and I still tell people today, you know, don't judge my success or lack of it or abundance of it or whatever. Don't judge that, because that has nothing to do with you. This is an individual thing, and whatever you can get out of it, you can get out of it. It's unlimited. It's there for you. And who knows what you can make out of it. What I made out of it and what you make out of it could be two different things. All right? But now, let's talk about some specifics at the kitchen table, folks. I think when you finish, you know, there's a sales technique that I train on, but I'm just going to go right to the bottom line on number 8 here, and I'm not going to talk about the rest of them today. But when it comes to getting referrals, folks, I teach this a lot. Never, ever, 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 ever say thank you. Know that sounds kind of funny, but the person being serviced or the person being served should be the one that says thank you. All right? So what you want to always do is ask the people when you finish up if they feel like you've done a good job for them. Okay? And they'll say, "Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, you did a super job." And you say, "I'm glad I could be of service to you. By the way, do you know anybody else that I can help?" Now, folks, why would I say it that way? Because if you say thank you, they're going to say, "Okay, he's thanking me for his paycheck. And now, do you know anybody else I can make money off of?" See, it's those little things that make a difference. And by them saying thank you, "I appreciate the job," they're in the right frame of mind. They're thanking you for serving them, servicing them, taking care of their situation, and it's a perfect time to say, "I'm glad I could be of service to you. Do you know of anyone else that I can help?" Now, that leads to referrals. Now, here's where you go, folks. Do you know of anybody else I can help? Like maybe your sister? Did they just buy a home, a second finance, a mortgage, or whatever? How about your neighbors? How about people you work with? How about people you go to church with? Just jog their memory. Jog their memory. And get the names, folks, of people that you can help. And then you simply say, "You know what? I need about 2, possibly 3 good people in this particular area to help me reach the people that need to be serviced. Would you know of anyone that would be looking for possibly a part-time position with the shot of maybe a full-time position later on if they choose to?" that could help me. We get thousands of these pieces of paper in here on a weekly basis. Matter of fact, you know, 21,000 last week in different areas. And we need a couple, three people in this area to help us get the word out, share the message with people, help them with their situations financially, kind of like I did with you. And we need to talk to some people that would be interested in that. Would you know of anybody? No, you're not interested, but would you know of anybody possibly that would be interested in that? How about your sister again? How about your brother? How about somebody? Who's the most enthusiastic or energized person that you know? Oh, that would be, you know, John Smith over here. That guy's unreal. He's never down. He's always up. He's always positive. The glass is always half full. I'd love to talk to John. Would you be willing to go with me to see John? Would that be something you'd like to do? Or would you prefer just giving me his number and having me call him? How about this? How about if you just pick your phone up? You think John's at home now? Well, yeah, he probably is. Would you mind picking the phone up and calling him and just telling him you just met me and kind of give him my name and let him know that I'm going to give him a call and drop by to see him and his wife? Could you do that for me? Folks, people will help you. You know what? But you got to ask for help. See, we go through our whole life and thinking we can do it all on our own. I'll give you a little example to maybe give you a visual on this. There was a little kid, maybe 8 years old, and his dad was with him, and he told me, he said, load those rocks up right there in that wheelbarrow, and we need to take those rocks from the back of the house around to the corner of the front of the house. So the son did exactly what his dad asked him to do. He loaded them up, and they started around through there, and he was trying all he could, struggling, pushing that wheelbarrow, dragging it in the ground, picking it up, sweating. And he finally, his daddy walking right alongside him, he looks at his daddy, he said, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't get it around there. I'm done. I can't. He said, oh, yeah, you can do it. And he pushed a little further. He said, Dad, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And he said, son, you're not using all your resources. He said, Dad, I didn't give it all I got. I've given out. I've given it everything I got. He said, you're not using your resources. He said, what resources? He said, you didn't ask me for help. I'll be more than happy to help you. People will be more than happy to help you, folks, but you're not asking for their help. See, you think you're going to be offensive. You're not going to be offensive. If they know that you just did an unbelievable service for them, why wouldn't they help you offer that service to people that they care about? There's only one reason. You're not asking them to. Now, I don't say you. I'm not talking to everybody on this phone, okay? There's got to be some folks out there doing this, all right? But what I'm saying is, that's where we need to be. We need to have that mindset of asking those folks for their help. Now, here's the other thing we need to be doing. Once we get their help to see other people, then the opportunity-wise, we need to do it. Now, folks, I promise you don't need a PowerPoint. See, all this is a misconception. These meetings we're going to are great. But let me tell you something. You can take a white erasable board and a couple of markers that are erasable, and you can take that to your best friend's living room, and you can get five or six couples to come over there, and you can furnish them chicken McNuggets or apple pie or whatever you want to do and a cup of coffee, and you can sit down in that living room, and you can draw up on that board, and you can show them our company, you can show them our history, you can show them where we come from, you can show them what we do, how we help people, what we're looking to accomplish, and you can recruit you some people right there in that living room, in the comfort of their own home, with 10, 12 couples. They do it with Mary Kay. They do it with Victoria's Secret. They do it with whatever. Tupperware, you name it. Okay? They'll fill a room up because they're going to get a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. Okay? You can do the same thing, folks, and you can have these opportunity meetings going on all over the United States in the middle of somebody's living room, with five to six couples there, and that five to six couples will grow. I promise you, back in the day when we were building this business, I live in Danville, Virginia. 40,000 people counting dogs, cats, chickens, horses, when everybody's home, okay? Count everything we got. And there was a minimum of four of these meetings going on. Back in the day, I got two gentlemen sitting here looking at me to know this. It was four different people presenting, and we never had on a Monday or Tuesday evening less than 30 to 45 people in any meeting. So that was anywhere from 175 to 200 people in Danville, Virginia, sitting at an opportunity meeting, watching us draw circles on the board showing the opportunity that we had to offer people, and they were desperately looking for something. Nothing's changed except for us. We got to get back in that mentality of getting in front of the people and talking to the people about what we have to offer, okay? Now, with that said, hang on a minute, because I've seen some questions coming through here, and it may be some things that I need to answer. Just hang with me for 1 second. Okay, I answered the one on the training call. I got that one. All right, I got one here that's asking me, at what point do you decide to cut your losses and move on to the next lead? Folks, for me, that never happened, and I don't mean to say never. I mean, you know, there's some pretty good examples in here of, you know, people saying they can't make a decision over the phone, people saying that, you know, even if it was the most perfect program, they wouldn't make a decision tonight, and so on and so forth. But, folks, you know what? Bottom line, if you can get somebody on the phone and talk to these people and come across in the right, again, frame of mind and set the appointment with them, you can make it happen. There's two programs that we use to do that. One's a simple system, one's a Hudgens system. As I always say, kind of jokingly, one of them we kind of tie them down over the telephone before we go. The other one we tie them up in the house after we get there. Both systems work, but bottom line, folks, if people are giving you objections, whatever the objection is, here's the secret. You got to be quick enough on your feet to be able to overcome the objection. Now, how do you overcome an objection? You got to be listening. If you're not listening to what the person's saying and you're too busy kind of contemplating what you're going to say, you won't overcome the objection. You got to be listening very close to what these people are saying, and then you can take that and spin it around, move it out of the way, get closer to them, and overcome the objection. See, any objection they give me, I'd love to do that. I'd be happy to do that, but my company won't allow me to, and let me explain why. It's totally for your benefit, not mine, and here's the reason it's for your benefit. And whatever that reason is what I would go into. If they're trying to put me off, I'll talk to them about the gentleman that just showed up and 10 o'clock at morning, they had a funeral for his wife. That's a real-life story, folks. It's on our internet. Use it. It's not something we publish or we put out there or we're proud of. It's just we want you to know the things that are happening to these people on a daily basis, and we want you to be able to share these stories with people before it's too late for them. See, that's the key. That's what you got to remember. These folks don't realize the sense of urgency until we put the sense of urgency in them. And you do that by telling stories, talking to them about the things that you've seen happen in the business since you've been in here. See, people, everywhere I go, I talk about my story and my dad and what happened to my mom and my family and how I got into insurance. That's my story. I know you got a story, folks. You didn't just wake up one day, you know, and say, I'm going to be an insurance salesman. You didn't do that. That didn't happen to you. You know, we didn't grow up as kids playing insurance salesmen. We grew up playing cowboys and Indians or something, or firemen, or, you know, something exciting. I don't think anybody just, you know, started at 6 years old and said, that's my career, I'm going to do that, and that's what I'm going to do. Folks, you're in this business, I know, without a doubt, that most people that are listening to me today are in this business because they have a passion for people. If not, you're in the wrong business, number one. And I don't think you're in the wrong business because you're on the call, all right? But I think you're in it because you have a passion for people. That same passion for people, the only thing I'm trying to say is take that passion to the extreme and don't take no for an answer. Don't let them give you an objection that you can't overcome. Don't get caught with your guard off or your guard down, okay? Overcome those objections. Cover it in a way that is for their benefit. Get out here to see the people and understand what it is that you're really and truly doing for them, okay? Now, okay, I got a gentleman here that says, I've been to a house a couple times with a couple and haven't closed yet, and would I recommend a letter, or what would I recommend? Basically, folks, this is a tough question for me. because I honestly, I don't know how to get to a house and not close. And I'm not picking on this gentleman. It's a very good question, so please don't misunderstand my comments here. But if you're in a home, and I know it's hard to close 100%. I understand that. But folks, once you get in front of those people, the sense of urgency has to come from you to them. And see, it's hard for me to visualize walking out of that house. I don't look at it as a sale, and I don't look at it as a premium, and I don't look at it as a contest. I look at it at what happens when I walk out of that house and I don't close that sale. And here's the way that I would suggest that this gentleman and everybody else look at this situation. Don't get bitter. Don't say, I've been there twice, and, you know, they're idiots, they're not listening to me, whatever. I don't say, that's not true in my opinion. And I don't think that this person is a bad person or a bad salesman. I don't mean it to come across that way. I'm trying to pick my words very carefully here. But bottom line, folks, it's up to you to make sure that that situation is taken care of when you leave that house. So what I would say is, yeah, you're not going to close 100%, but what you can do is you can learn from your mistakes, and that's how you get better. If you go back in your mind and you go over what you did, what they said, how you reacted to what they said, and figure out what you could have done a little bit different to cause them to see the urgency before it's too late. See, that's how you get better. That's how you get stronger. That's that self-improvement that I'm talking about. Okay, you missed this one, and you missed it twice. So you're going to get bitter, or you're going to get better. Now, to get better, you can't wait to get in the next home and say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You got to say, what could I have done different to make the outcome of that appointment different and make it in their favor? That's how you get better. So to me, that's what I would recommend you doing, going back through and analyzing in your mind what they said and how you reacted to what they said, and see if you can do some self-improvement, okay? All right, here's another question. How can I get around to waiting to the first of the year? Folks, for me, when people say, can I wait to the first of the year, or can I wait to the first of the month, or can you come back later, I'd be happy to come back later. But let me ask you something. What's going to happen to your family? Remember what we just talked about? I can come back to the first of the year, but there's nothing to guarantee me that you'll be sitting here talking to me when I come back the first of the year. That's my problem. Can you afford to wait to the first of the year? See, I pull my paintbrush out and I start painting, folks. I paint them a picture. Sir, let me ask you something. What kind of work you do? Well, I drive a truck. Okay, you drive a truck. All right, you out here on the road, there's a bad wreck in front of you, you swerve to miss it, you're over a cliff, an embankment, and you don't make it home. Now, that young man that just walked by me smiling, that was about 6 years old, what's going to happen to him? And that young lady sitting over there looking at me right now, sir, I don't mean to be rude. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. What's going to happen to her? Are they going to have a place to live? Are they going to have to sell this and move out? Are they going to have money to take care of putting food on the table? See, folks, those are the visual things that people got to see. And that's exactly what I do on appointments. It's tough, and you say, well, man, I can't talk to – yes, you can. See, people don't care how much you know. They know how much you care. And when you start talking to people from your heart, and you start looking them in the eye and say, sir, I don't offend you in any way, but let me ask you something. Can you afford to wait? What's going to happen if you don't make it to the end of the year? And you set an appointment up for me to come back January the 5th, and I come over and ring his doorbell January the 5th, and your wife comes to the door and says, I wish you came January the 1st, because he was in a car wreck on the 4th. See, that happens, folks. That's reality. And between now and the end of the year, I promise you, folks, it always seems to happen around a holiday that somebody loses a loved one, it's an accident, somebody is in a car wreck, there's people out here having parties, and even if you're not one of the people partying, you're coming down the road as innocent as you can be, and here comes the partier on your side of the road, and boom, you're out of here. See, those kind of things happen during the holiday season, and you hear about it more so than you do in any other season. So between then and the end of the year, There should be no problems overcoming objections. Okay? Can you go for referrals when you do not make the sale? Yeah, I think you can still get referrals if you don't make the sale, and I think you can get people recruited if you don't make the sale, and I think possibility, if I go in and I miss the sale and they give me somebody else and I go in and talk to them, I'm going to ask that person to go back and help me with the one that sent me over there. And I may hire that person to go back, and when they come back over and talk to them, we may get the sale that way. But I don't see anything wrong with referrals if they don't close. I would just prefer a closing, to be honest with you. I'm getting some good questions here now. Okay, here's one from a gentleman that says, once you get somebody interested in joining our team on a part-time basis, how do you keep them excited? Now, that's pretty easy as far as I'm concerned on keeping them excited, but basically if they're not licensed folks, you're going to have to get them the book, okay? Get them studying for their license. You can also send them to our website. You can also have them plug into our conference calls on a weekly basis. If they are working a full-time job during the day and they can't plug into our conference calls, get the MP3 for $2. Get it to them. Let them listen to it. Give them assignments. See if they're going to be coachable. Give them assignments. Give them an MP3 and tell them to listen to that MP3, and you're going to call them in a day or two and see what they think about it. If you call them in a day or two and they hadn't listened to it, chances are they're not the one you're looking for, folks. They're not coachable, okay? You can keep them excited. Get them in a meeting. Get them somewhere in one of those living room presentations that I'm talking about. Okay, this is just somebody thanking me. Thank you for thanking me. That's cool. What are some of the key points to look to in finding a good appointment setter? I can say on this subject that I've honestly never used an appointment setter, but I can also say out of the same breath that there's a lot of people out here that are very successful in using an appointment setter. And here's what I say. If you're going to find a successful appointment setter, it's going to have to be someone that cares as much about your business as you do. It's not just for the money. It's going to be someone that understands the importance of setting those appointments. It's going to be someone that understands the importance of the family on the other end. See, those are the kind of things that I think you've got to look for in an appointment setter. A lot of the guys, and again I say guys, are using spouses. So it could be a lady using a husband, but they're using spouses, and the reason they're using spouses is they have the same goals, they have the same principles, they have the same standards, they have the same ethics, they're working towards the same thing, and it works over the telephone that way, okay? So I would say if I'm looking for an appointment setter, it needs to be somebody that knows my objectives, and I need to spend some time with that person on how I get inside of people's heads and how I set appointments and how I overcome objections if that person's going to be successful for me. Because, see, if I look at, oh, pick one. If I look at Fitz, I know if Fitz calls up, it's going to be a different appointment set than if I call up. So everybody's got their own way of doing it, but I got to have somebody, if I were going to use one, I'd have to have somebody that's very knowledgeable on what I'm doing in order to be successful at setting appointments for me. They'd have to answer and overcome things the same way that I do. Okay? All right, folks. Looks like that's all the questions that I've got, and I'll just have one pass over here. The question is, does the agent have to know how to set appointments first? I don't know how the agent can teach the other person unless they know how to set appointments. You know, it's kind of like digging a ditch. You know, I can tell you all day long, get a shovel and go dig a ditch, but I can't really instruct you on it if I ain't never dug a ditch. If you ever use post hole diggers to dig a hole, folks, them things, you know, you got to maneuver them around a little bit. You got to get the hole wide enough at the top to get it deep enough at the bottom. I can't explain that to you if I never had a set in my hands, okay? So the answer is yes. The agent has to know what they're doing in order to teach somebody else to do it. I don't think you can just come in as an agent and you know, get a bunch of leads and hire somebody that don't know nothing from Adam's house cat, put leads in the hand and have them set appointments for you and think you're going to be successful. You learn from experience. You teach them from that experience. You work in sync with each other, and it'll work. Again, in closing, folks, conventions, meetings, conference calls. We got another conference call tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Be on the calls. They're for your benefit, not ours. There's always some little nugget. Somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to be on there teaching something. So look forward to talking with you if you're a manager tomorrow at 12:30 and for writing agents tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you then. Later.